Mark Dan Pops America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In just a second, I'm going to be formally introducing our guest today, Nathan Condit, who is the author of The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty. Before I introduce Nathan or ask him to step into the conversation, I just wanted to remark about several additional things where Bob's comments were concerned. One is the issue of incrementalism. How far do we go in compromising with evil before we become a part of the problem ourselves? That's an ongoing philosophical and theological debate, but I think it's noteworthy that Bob has raised that issue on the air today, because it seems to me that in all of our lives, my own included, when we examine some of the ways in which we have progressively redrawn our battle lines from time to time, it may explain why the conservative movement and true biblical Christianity in this country is embattled and endangered in ways that it never has been quite in the same way before. So this whole issue of incrementalism and continuing to redraw our own lines of resistance is something that I think Bob is absolutely correct about. He also raised the issue of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran. You know, when you look at the IRI regime and the events that have taken place just since Ahmadinejad's election in June of 2005. I was in Los Angeles at the time on a trip and was talking to some Iranian expatriates about Ahmadinejad. And among the many things that I believed or suspected at the time, and I suspect it now, is that when you look at the entire situation that seems to be unfolding in the world, maybe when we look at Ahmadinejad and look at George Bush, we're reminded of the imagery that my father used with me many years ago when he was explaining to me in Hawaii, when we were stationed there in the Air Force, that a professional wrestling match that he had taken me to was rigged, that it was rigged, that the so-called opponents were both in on the whole thing in terms of who was going to win. The entire match had been rehearsed and choreographed. The referee was in on it. The promoter was in on it. And the people who were truly the ones being fooled in all of this were the folks who had paid money to see the match, thinking that it was real. Is that a metaphor that we can use to analyze our own present political system and our own news media's coverage of it? I would suspect that Bob is really onto something here, which is quite sobering. Again, in light of what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 about powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, and certainly when we talk about the whole issue of the Antichrist, as he is referenced in terms of the New Testament, there can be no question that despite the many divergent points of view in regard to who or what the Antichrist is, that the whole notion of deception is something upon which I think we can all agree is part and parcel of what the New Testament indicates is going to transpire in this world system, particularly as we approach the end of history. Nathan, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Listen, in terms of your book and in terms of your background, share with us a little bit of your background in regard to being the author of The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty. How did you get into researching this project, and where do you think it's headed?
Yeah, I graduated from Regent University as Pat Robertson Graduate School in 1998. I worked in the private sector with a business I started with my brother for about 7 years, and then at 29 years old, I decided to run for Congress. During that time, I had launched a personal blog called theconservativevoice.com.
Nathan, I have to cut away to a commercial break. That's what the music's all about there. Hold your thought, and we'll come right back to you. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Nathan Condit, The Beast on the East River, The UN Threats to America's Sovereignty. Stay tuned.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Nathan Condit, C-O-N-D-I-T, and his new book, The Beast on the East River, The U.N. Threat to America's Sovereignty. Nathan, sorry for the interruption, but getting back to you, to what we were speaking about when you first started, you were at Regent College and then subsequently became involved in a series of events that led to the writing of this book. Go ahead.
And I'm not sure how, Mike. My last name's actually Tabor, T-A-B-O-R.
Oh, okay.
So Nathan Tabor.
For some reason I had Condit down here. I'm sorry, it's Nathan.
That's
Tabor.
Okay.
No, it isn't. That's,
I've been called worse, just not today. So we're
yes,
okay.
Yes, very good. And that's T-A-B-O-R, as in Tabor, Iowa. Go ahead.
Exactly. So I started theconservativevoice.com. Started doing that, started writing a weekly column, started writing for like Town Hall and Human Events and some of the other major, you know, conservative websites out there, and wanted to write a book. So I started approaching some publishers about it and started really looking at where is the, you know, undermining of morals and values, where is the taxation, where is our military, where is this whole undermining of the sovereignty of the United States, NAFTA and CAFTA and FTAA coming down the road. And it just all kind of started leading back to one point, and that was the United Nations. And every time I would start researching something to write on it, it would come back to it. Ultimately, the United Nations had some type of control or had started the program or something. So I, you know, wrote a book proposal and started pitching it around, and Thomas Nelson picked it up, and then Senator Jesse Helms endorsed the book for me.
Well, in terms of Helms, this raises a question in terms of what Michael Collins Piper has said about Jesse Helms in his book, The Judas Goats. To what extent did Helms himself evolve to a point where he largely acquiesced to the inevitability in his own mind of the UN? You know, when I first followed Helms' career, it seemed to me that he was one of the lone voices on Capitol Hill who never had anything good to say about the UN, and from time to time would at least intimate that we ought to get out of the thing. And yet later in his life, he apparently was one of those who talked about reforming the UN. Isn't that a departure from, say, what Ron Paul has been talking about from time to time when he introduces these resolutions in the House of Representatives to simply get the United States out of this organization?
Well, and I think what happens there is, you know, I've not been elected, so I'm not sure that I know how it works, but I haven't been there. But it's almost common sense to a certain degree. I don't think Jesse Helms compromised his principles. He realized that from a realistic standpoint, you know, he had fought for 20-something years and had withheld dues for half of those to the United Nations and wanted a full pullout and was basically at a deadlock. He was getting nowhere. We were holding the dues back, but he knew that he was getting up in his years, and he was going to be retiring soon. So his last ditch effort, in my opinion, was, well, when I leave, they're going to continue just the way the UN is currently doing. No changes are going to be made. Whoever takes my spot is going to, you know, catch up all the back dues, and we're going to be on the same course we're currently on. So he said, well, let's try to at least make some amends here and reform the United Nations so it can at least back off a bit, which didn't happen. Senator Helms retired. I'm not sure, I'll be honest with you, who stepped in, but we paid all our back dues to the United Nations, and we're currently on the same course. Now, there are good, you know, American patriots like Ron Paul today, but then again, he's like the lone voice in the wilderness. As far as from an elected official standpoint, he's up there fighting a battle of saying, you know, get us out of the United Nations, and really nobody's coming along and beating that drum with him.
Well, isn't this really an indication that the establishment American right, including a lot of the folks connected with publications like Human Events and National Review and electronic outlets like Fox News, have basically to some extent accepted certain presuppositions of the New World Order? Because it seems to me that once you say that we simply have to try and reform the UN, make it a better organization, spend its money a little bit better, and so forth and so on, isn't that acquiescing to the larger issues and the larger philosophy that has resulted in what continues to be a full-blown drive toward world government?
Yeah, and I think where you hear that coming out today is, you know, when you do hear the media, which they seldom do ever talk about the atrocities of the UN, is when something comes out like Darfur and you see where the United Nations is really not a human rights organization. If they were, they would be there. So then you get people start backpedaling just for image-wise. Oh, well, we need to make sure that there are stronger, you know, reforms in the United Nations to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And as soon as the media attention is gone, so is that type of talk. You know, when you were talking earlier, starting out this hour, you were talking about the media. You know, when Walter Cronkite, you know, the great Walter Cronkite of CBS Evening News, he received an award from the United Nations in 1999. And this is a direct quote from him. And I think the significance of this is that you don't, the media is not informing us of this. Because remember when you were a little kid growing up, if little Johnny was the one causing all the trouble in the neighborhood and you wanted to hang out and be like little Johnny, you didn't go home and tell your mom and dad what, you know, that little Johnny was breaking windows in the neighborhood because you knew your parents wouldn't let you hang out with little Johnny. And I think that's what's happening at the United Nations. This media, they agree with the New World Order, so they're not going to inform the American public of what's taking place, because then they know we would most likely, hopefully, stand up and demand that we be taken out of the UN. So Walter Cronkite said, we must strengthen the United Nations as a first step towards a world government. And to do that, of course, we Americans will have to yield up some of our sovereignty. I mean, he didn't push it. Go ahead.
And to me, as I look at this, and I know that, again, Michael Collins Piper in chapter 31 of his book, The Judas Goats, has some discussion of Jesse Helms and what seemed to be an evolution in his position on the UN over time, and also his relationship to the Israeli lobby. Some of this also comes up with Newt Gingrich, who's another favorite figure among many establishment Republican conservatives. But I remember Gingrich saying, at the time that this NAFTA treaty was in the process of coming together, he did say, in a largely forgotten quote now, that the people behind this treaty needed to be upfront about the fact that it was, in essence, one of a series of moves toward world government. Now, given the fact that you've got an establishment Republican conservative figure talking this way, realistically, how does this play in regard to that portion of the American right that recognizes the UN for what it is, that wants to get out of the organization, that sees, particularly with its latest move toward world government, the so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership arrangement for North America, how does that percentage of the American right, going back to the old American right, the America First people who want to get out of the UN and all of these other globalist institutions that have arguably done so much to destroy the constitutional heritage of this republic, is there any hope that you see that this can ever be achieved, or are we looking at something where, not to be facetious here, but this side of the second coming of Christ that we're simply stuck with, that there's no political option that you see out there on the horizon that would enable us to engage in more effective opposition to the UN?
Yeah, and I mean this in all respect to all the listeners, and I assume that your listeners are hopefully more educated than others if they're listening to you, because I know what you're out there teaching and preaching. But I was speaking at a Republican luncheon the other day. You're a Republican activist, so you would assume they're, you know, a little bit more involved in what's going on in our society. And I asked them, you know, who all knows about the United Nations, and every one of them raises their hand. I said, okay, who all knows about World Heritage Sites? And I said, don't raise your hand if you don't know, because I'm going to ask you. And only two out of about 40 raised their hand. And I think this is significant coming into, you know, talking about Newt Gingrich and his statements and NAFTA and CAFTA, because the World Heritage Sites was one of the first moves to really start taking away the private ownership of land, or the ownership of land, and putting it into the control of the United Nations. You know, the 1972 treaty, when the United States Senate ratified this, it said that World Heritage Sites, and this is a direct quote, go to Google and search World Heritage Sites and then about World Heritage, and it's right there on the second paragraph. It says, World Heritage Sites belong to all the peoples of the world, irrespective of the territory on which they are located. That was 1972. 1974-75, the Habitat One conference, the United Nations came out and said in writing that they believed that the private ownership of land was a source of social injustice. Skip back to 1945, when it was set up, Sir Julian Huxley and the others who put the United Nations together were Marxist sympathizers.
Alger Hiss, certainly.
Yeah, Alger Hiss. So then you skip forward to 2006, 2007, and you start looking at NAFTA and CAFTA, the breaking down of our borders. You start looking at the Kelo decisions and eminent domain. You could look at 1996, when then-President Bill Clinton, remember the Crown Butte mines out of the Yellowstone National Park?
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh, well, the World Heritage Sites have no teeth. Yes, they have teeth. Because Bill Clinton, then as a president, got the United Nations to declare the Yellowstone National Park World Heritage Sites in danger. He shut down a private company on private property.
We'll be back with Nathan Tabor, the author of The Beast on the East River, the UN Threat to America's Sovereignty, when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Nathan Tabor, author of The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty. Nathan, we've been talking a little bit this morning about the United Nations. Clearly, it is an organization dedicated to world government and to the destruction of American sovereignty. I think that's very clear for anyone who has looked at this issue, even from a cursory point of view. Where do you see the UN going today in regard to such issues as global gun bans, international hate crimes legislation, and global internet regulation? Those seem to be three things that are coming up from time to time in discussions both of the federal government of the United States and certain forces up on Capitol Hill supporting this sort of thing, and also as it relates to the UN.
Yeah. I think there's, you know, the three things that the United Nations really needs to have their new world order put in place. One is court authority, one is tax authority, and one is military authority. And those are the three things you just, you know, basically mentioned. On the internet, the UN has been pressing for a number of years to, you know, have it taken out of the control of the United States and put into this world control, and trying to put a tax on email, and then they say it's, but that is actually, when you study and look at the facts, the United Nations is trying to pass a 1 cent email on every 100 emails, and they're trying to do it by 2015. With the Congress we currently have, even with the Democrat side, I don't think they will let that happen currently. But I do believe if it keeps going the way it's going, it's just a matter of time until it happens. And the significance of that is yes, a tax, but United Nations does not have its own money currently. So if they can put into place this tax, that will create over $70 billion a year for them in tax revenue. Well, then we really will not have any control over them, because at least by funding 20 to 25% of their agenda, we at times can turn what they're trying to do. But if they have their own money, I mean, it's kind of over to a certain degree.
Well, this raises an interesting question in terms of courts, this whole business of internationalizing courts, international taxation, utilizing a global military police force, which is arguably in turn connected to internationalist institutions like NATO. Aren't these all places where we can see the cracks in the dam in terms of what has been the traditional American conservative position on some of these things since the end of World War II? For example, at one time, going back a number of years ago, many years ago now, I was one of the young American conservatives who supported the American involvement in NATO, ostensibly to avoid a takeover of Western Europe on the part of the Soviet Union. And yet, isn't it true now that NATO is increasingly being utilized as an international police force and military police force, and that in essence, by supporting NATO, we're talking about a backdoor participation in the drive to create an internationalist military?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, look at the Michael New case, which is, you know, he's kind of the hero on the side of this. I mean, by putting holes into Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution and willingly and knowingly doing it, as Bill Clinton did, and then for George W. Bush to continue to support it and push towards it, and then the American people not, you know, raising up in arms to stop it. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where I'm always telling people, it's like, you know, the first time you steal that cookie, your conscience gets on to you. The second time, it's a little bit, you know, by the, you know, 50th time you've done it, you just, it's okay to do it. And that is what I see, you know, with NATO and getting involved with organizations like this, when we start supporting them and start putting our troops under the control. You go to AF.mil, airforce.military, AF.mil, and search the United Nations, you'll see soldiers that have U.S. Army on their camo, on their fatigues, and they'll have a blue U.N. patch and a blue U.N. helmet raising a U.N. flag.
Yeah, no question about it. And the Michael New case certainly comes to mind. His father is a good friend of mine. I have met Michael on several occasions in the past. And as I look at the New case, it seems to me that this is a microcosm of the much larger problem. And frankly, when I look at the Republican Party, let's take the Republican Party, since that is, for whatever reason, the party that a majority of people, vast majority of people, who call themselves conservatives in the United States will vote generally for the Republican candidates at all levels of government. When you talk about the fact that we are still supporting the UN financially to the tune of at least 20 to 25% of its total budget, and when you see the acquiescence of virtually every establishment Republican political figure that I am aware of in regard to NATO and the increasing utilization of American troops and internationalist operations, plus their silence on the Michael New case. What does this mean for those who call themselves conservatives and Republicans? Mark Dankoff's America will be back in San Antonio, Texas, live on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Nathan Tabor, The Beast on the East River, the UN threat to America's sovereignty. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest this morning is Nathan Tabor, the author of The Beast on the East River, the UN threat to America's sovereignty. Nathan, talking a little bit about some of these issues before the break, I was pointing out that utilizing your figures, the U.S. is supporting the United Nations to the tune of probably a quarter of its total budget. And, of course, American military forces have been incorporated from time to time in U.S. peacekeeping operations around the world. We now have a situation, of course, where the U.N. is moving forward in regard to issues related to the internationalization of courts, the international imposition of taxes, and the whole question, of course, we've already cited, of their utilization of the militaries of various nation states in a drive toward the creation of some form of world army or armed world police force, given the fact that George W. Bush and the Republican Party have arguably done nothing about this in the course of the last 6 years. When it comes to the whole issue of the United Nations, is the Republican Party truly any different from the Democratic in regard to its basic acceptance of these globalist presuppositions?
Well, you know, George H. Bush was the first sitting president in 2000 that, I mean, in 1991, 92, had ever used the term New World Order as a sitting president. So no, I don't think there's much difference when it comes to, you know, some of the NAFTAs and CAFTAs and then the UNs and NATOs. I mean, there are Republicans out there who are probably fighting it more than Democrats. I don't know of a Democrat like a Ron Paul on the Democrat side, not that I'm aware of. But then at the same time, you know, look what Bush is doing right now. I mean, look at the global population control. You know, we talk that, you know, the United States is supposed to be a Christian nation, or at least on the conservative nation, and the Republicans were in control for 6 years, and you look at the population fund where they're going in, the United Nations is going in and forcing sterilization and forced abortions on women in Africa, and then you look at the United States is funding 20 to 25% of the budget, that means the taxpayers are funding for those abortions.
Yes.
Yet we're continuing to let it take place under Republican leadership. Now, you know, Democrat-controlled House and Senate. But, you know, your point is, which I see that, and I say the same thing, where were the Republicans, the conservative Republicans, standing up and saying, look, this is not right from a moral issue, and it's not right from a government issue, and we're going to put an end to it?
Do you see any possibility that there could be, in the American political spectrum, a political party, populist in origin, that basically is an anti-globalist party that makes front and center its primary pitch to voters the notion that we should get out of all of the institutions of the New World Order, jettison any attempts on their part to internationalize our courts, to open our borders, to tax us through these international regulatory bodies. We should oppose with every fiber of our being, politically and constitutionally, any attempts to employ the American military for interests that are not related to the national security of this country, but that are obviously a part of the larger globalist agenda. Do you think that those concerns, which you apparently articulate in your book, that those can be effectively translated into some form of effective political activism at the ballot box? Or are we truly dealing with a situation again where there realistically are few, if any, peaceful political options for dealing with this burgeoning issue?
Yeah, and I mean that is there are some good party, you know, smaller parties out there that have a good philosophy on this, like the Constitution Party. There's some good organizations like the John Birch Society, but the reality to this, and the problem is that for somebody to win the president of the United States, they're going to spend over $500 to $750 million per side. So you're going to have over $1 billion spent just to be on the presidential side. And to win a U.S. Senate seat, you're looking at spending, you know, $15 to $27 to $30 million per side. So from an economical standpoint, no, I don't see any organization or third party out there that has the money to compete with the Republican or the Democrat side. So what I suggest that we're going to have to do is, one, become educated on the issues, really, you know, take a hard look at what's going on, not just an overview of the UN, you know, the simple, the UN is bad. Yes, we know the UN is bad, but why? And two is then go into one of the parties. I suggest the Republican Party because people are more open to it and there's more conservatives on the base, and take back over the leadership, take back over the, you know, the true Republican Party, and then implement a plan from that side. That is the quickest way to do it and the most economical way to do it, because the infrastructure already exists.
Yes, well, I respectfully is not as sanguine as you are about the possibilities for this. I was, of course, a part of what you would call the Taft-Buchanan wing of the Republican Party for many years. I left the Republican Party in 1996 out in California, have not returned to it. To me, as I look at it, I would question at this point whether or not the proposal that you cite, however well-intentioned, is possible, because when I look at the performance of the Republican Party just in these last 6 years alone, and look at all of the available people that are being discussed openly in the establishment news media as prospective Republican presidential candidates in future years, I don't see anyone out there, with the exception of Ron Paul, if he does decide to run. But in terms of the candidates being bandied about in mainstream American media, I don't see anyone out there that is talking about any of this at all. They all seem to be pretty much on the globalist bandwagon. Is that a fair reading?
No, that is a fair reading, and maybe I should go one step further. The reason why I say what I do is, with a lot of this that we've talked about, taxing authority, court authority, military authority, if something's not done within the next 20 to 30 years to stop this train, the UN will have taxing authority. And once they have it, look at the IRS in the United States. It's unconstitutional. But it's not going anywhere. We can't even get a flat tax or a fair tax passed in the United States. So my problem is that if we, in my mind, if we don't do something and do it quick and do it in a radical manner, in the next 4, 5, 6 elections, what the UN is proposing and what they're trying to do, they're 2 or 3 steps from putting it in place.
And I
don't see a third party having the organization or the money to get at a competitive nature, competitive fielding of candidates to where they can, where we could put people in a place of high enough places to make a difference.
Well, in terms of folks who using this term advisedly, are constitutionalists and populists who believe that American sovereignty over its own economy, its own political institutions, its own culture, that battle has already largely been lost since the end of World War II and the advent of the UN. Are such people eventually going to reach the point to where some form of peaceful civil disobedience becomes involved? In other words, if the UN suddenly, in a blatant power grab, openly takes control of the American court system, the American system of taxation, bad as it already is and unconstitutional as it already is, and if we have the UN successfully getting a mandate to conscript a certain number of American forces every year for participation in a UN global military entity, are those of us who oppose this sort of thing simply going to have to quietly go to jail in opposition to this? I mean, is it really going to come to that?
Well, yes and no. Yes, I would think that was what would happen, but then I would say no, because I mean, CAST has passed, NAFT has passed, the flood of illegal immigration is still going on, and we're not seeing out of those. I mean, those are gross, incredible chunks of the sovereignty of the United States gone, will never be recaptured. And really nothing was done about it.
Well, absolutely. You just take the illegal immigration issue, for example. Quite a number of weeks ago, I had someone from the Minutemen on this show and was referencing the fact that in 1992, when Pat Buchanan ran for president in the Republican primaries against George Herbert Walker Bush, Buchanan was making illegal immigration one of his front and center issues. At that time, using Buchanan's own statistics, there were thought to be something like 2 to 3 million illegal aliens in the United States. Now that figure is arguably 20 million, depending on whose figures one accepts, but let's call it 15 to 20 million. That's clearly a many-fold increase from what it was just 15 short years ago. And yet there is an obvious acquiescence on the part of the American political establishment to this. Obviously, many forces in the American political establishment who, utilizing the perceived interests of American corporate interests, want the cheap labor. They're actively facilitating this. You have the internationalist left, which wants to destroy the, what I would argue is the European cultural identity of the United States historically, and they want to bring us full-blown into the so-called New World Order. That with all of this happening and what is up to now, largely the passivity of the American public in what has been incrementally, arguably, the destruction of their country as they have known it up to this point, if we have, as a people, allowed all of this to go this far with the illegal immigration, with the open borders, with NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization, now you've got this strategic prosperity partnership thing for a North American Union that is gaining new steam. With all of this stuff going on, my question is this. Is the ball game really over in regard to any conventional political activism or program of education or a ballot box recruitment that can stop this thing at this point?
I honestly believe, and I'm not trying to be, you know, a pessimist, and I agree with what the Minutemen are doing. I agree with what these other John Birch Society, these other groups are doing. But on a realistic side, I believe that if we don't get to the top of the ship and become the captain and really have the power to change the entire navigation of where we're going, yes, I think the game's somewhat over. Because the people down in the people down in the gullies can jump up and down and they can try to sway the ship back and forth. But if you've got, you know, diesel engines running and a captain at the top that's steering it, you're not going to do much, but maybe occasionally rock the boat a tad.
Do you? What's your position on the role of the Jewish lobby in all of this? Are you a supporter of the State of Israel? What's your take on the Zionist lobby and its alliance with the Christian right?
Yeah, well, I am a supporter of Israel, of the nation of Israel, from a biblical standpoint. That you know. Saying the scripture saying that, you know, the countries who turn their back on Israel is not a friend of God. But all the, you know, the, with the radical side of some of, you know, the supporters of Israel, I don't agree with. But I do believe as a nation we need to try to protect Israel, even if Israel's not always doing what they should be doing.
So you see no relationship between the drive toward internationalism, a drive toward a new world order on the one hand, and the support for Zionism on the other?
Well, no, I think, you know, if you look back to the original charter of the UN, I have no problem with that. I think other nations can help protect the sovereignty of other nations without having to control them. And that's what I would push for, is that, you know, if you have, you know, World War I and World War II, you had nations coming together to protect other nations, but they weren't trying to control each other. Then the United Nations, when they came out, you read the Charter of the United Nations, and when the Senate ratified it, it said it was to protect the sovereignty, it was a human rights organization, and to protect the sovereignty of all nations. Well, it quickly morphed into something else, which I think that was what it was planned to do, was then to, you know, implement this new world order.
What is your take, getting back for a minute to this whole issue of population control? I know I had a listener send me a very excellent and very grim document recently pertaining to Anthony Lake and Christine Todd Whitman and their joint oversight of a document that was produced by the Council on Foreign Relations dealing with population control. And the title of this document is More Than Humanitarianism, A Strategic U.S. Approach Toward Africa. Delving a little bit more deeply for a moment into this whole issue of population control and globalist support for it, what is, in your understanding, the globalist mindset in supporting these population control policies worldwide, particularly as that relates to abortion?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the first thing we need to look at with the global population control is who helped set the agenda up. And that was a lady by the name of Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of the International Planned Parenthood Federation. So that right there will tell you the agenda real quick of what the global population control. But, you know, they're using coercive population methods. I mentioned earlier, forced sterilization and abortion campaigns in third world countries. Look at China's one-child policy that's been in place for almost 20 years. You know, they're aborting 10 to 15 kids a year that we know about. Babies a year that we know about. You know, they talk about development and empowerment that the UN does, but it clearly prefers advocating abortion, and they always use this key phrase, sustainable development, to improving human rights or the conditions abroad, which is has absolutely nothing to do with it whatsoever. Their ideology is here is they want to control what's going to be taking place. And they're stepping into these third world countries, you know, to the Sudan and others, and implementing this population control in a human rights manner. But when Darfur comes up, they stay completely out of it.
We'll be back with Nathan Tabor, the author of The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty, when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. When we come back, I'll take a caller. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined in this last hour by Nathan Tabor, the author of The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty. Nathan, as I understand it, you're probably going to leave us shortly after 9 a.m. Is that correct, 9 a.m. Central Time?
Yes, okay. Correct.
Very good. I want to take a caller while you're still with us. John in Florida, you're on Mark Dankos America, coming to you from San Antonio. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I had a question for Mr. Tabor.
Sure.
I've walked in the church where Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. What I want to know from him, does he really feel that we as Americans, there's enough of us out there, or does he feel there's a significant number that can make a difference? Because I see it coming down to... I see it coming down to violence, and I just wonder, I know you're kind of dancing around. Seems like to me we're rearranging the deck furniture on the Titanic. You know it's coming. We've got 30 million illegals. We have people that don't belong here. We have lawbreakers. I could go on and on, but not to start too much of a diatribe. Do you understand how Patrick Henry stood for what he did in Virginia?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we need that fire in the belly, but... You know, in respectfully saying this, if we can't get people just to go and vote, it has no risk whatsoever of losing their life. I severely doubt you're going to be able to get people to fall on the sword.
So you say there could be some who want liberty that much and freedom, but many who don't.
Well, I mean, right now at the ballot box, I would say, you know, no, there's not enough people, even if you're willing to give your life, which people are, which I would be. But, you know, you also have to look at the reality of it. You would be doing it in vain. If there's enough people who are willing to kill, to take their lives, put their lives on the line to save America, just go to the ballot box and then you won't have to give your life. But
well,
we
the only
even
thing
get
is, let me just take a different point on that. When you almost kind of minimalize what Patrick Henry said. Whether anyone else stands for you or not, what you're looking... We all know God is in charge, as far as I'm concerned, as a Christian, a man of faith. But you know what? As we walk this life and we know the end is coming, and I guess like Mel Gibson said in the movie, do you want to die in your bed, an old man, saying, what did I do? Or would you take the one chance when the time comes to cross that line and be on the front line to say, I was there, I did what I needed to, in the same vein of Patrick Henry?
Yeah, no, I agree. But then you look at the research from 2000, the Pew Research, evangelical Christians, there's roughly 85 million in the United States. These are exit polls. They asked, do you believe in the virgin birth, Jesus Christ died, rose again, is your personal savior? And people said yes. So then they asked, okay, so these are Christians. They asked, who did you vote for? 43% voted for Al Gore.
Well, what percentage voted for George Bush?
Well, 57% voted for George Bush.
So that would be, so I would argue that 100% of those people voted for a candidate who is totally bought and paid for by the New World Order, whether he's a Republican or a Democrat.
Yes, but in 2000, when George Bush was running, before we knew what he was going to do, he was saying he was pro-life, he was pro-God, and he was pro-America.
Another Rockefeller Republican pulling the wool over the eyes of many, many fine uninformed people. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd like to thank Nathan Tabor for being on this last hour. His new book is The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty. I'll be back. Stay tuned. You can give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. John, if you'd like to stay on the line from Florida, you're welcome to do so. I'll be back.